Hello, and welcome to the Bactiguard Q1 report for 2019. The presentation for this can be found on our website, www.bactiguard.com, under For Investors. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Christian Kinch, the CEO, and Cecilia Edström, the CFO. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Christian Kinch. I'm the CEO of Bactiguard, and here are the highlights for the Q1 report. I would like to start off by saying that we did have a stable beginning of the year. We are, and especially myself, I'm pleased, but maybe not as satisfied as I would be. Looking at it in brief, turning to the second page in our presentation, the Q1 revenues were up somewhat at 7%. When you look into it in details, we got to bear in mind that as of normal, the Q1 is one of our weaker quarters. Looking at the BIP sales, it was somewhat lower. This is not as dramatic as it may seem, given that we had large deliveries to China and India in the fourth quarter, and that was basically according to our plan. On the positive side, though, we see that our license revenues are up. That's giving us good boost for the quarter. Looking, of course, at the EBITDA, it's very positive to see that it has tripled from 1.8 million to 7.2 million. But we should bear in mind that even though this is an increase from 6% to 20%, we are affected by the new IFRS 16 effects. But if we take headroom for those, we are still doubling the underlying EBITDA margin, and that is positive. When we look at the net profit, it has gone down from, let's say, last year, -8 million to now -3.4 million. Here we have to bear in mind as well that we do take an anticipated write-off of, or sorry, depreciation of our technology, which is not cash affecting by 6 million. Without that, we have a positive underlying business. Operating cash flow was better than last quarter, but here we should also bear in mind that we took the full cash effect of the early termination of our former partner in China in this quarter with some 11.5 million. Let's turn to the next page. Just looking out what's happening around the world, and especially in our home country. The Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare, Socialstyrelsen, just came out with a report on hospital-acquired infections. Here it's quite frightening and interesting to see that when you analyze some 12,000 adverse events in the Swedish healthcare system, you see that hospital-acquired infections are at the top of the list, leading to the highest number of serious consequences and deaths in Sweden. This mainly strikes out from pneumonia and sepsis that is caused by these infections. Every year in Sweden, some 110,000 people are affected, but even more frightening is the end conclusion here. This leads to more than 1,400 people dying every single year. When we put that into comparison with traffic accidents, we had last year 325 people dying from cars in traffic, and here we have a zero vision. I think it's more than time to establish that zero vision in the healthcare-associated infections as well. I will be coming back to that. Turning to the next page, and also coming now from the United States, the Centers for Disease Control. We don't only fight, as of now, superbugs, we also are fighting supercandida infections. We have now seen an outbreak in the global health threat from some 600 cases of deadly fungus reports. This is very frightening, and this has not been as present before. And this we see in the U.S., and we see it also in other markets. So turn to the next page. I think it is important that we remind ourselves of the Bactiguard mechanism of action. We usually say that we have the battery effect, i.e., leading to a galvanic effect on the surface, preventing bacteria to stick to the surface and colonizing and create biofilm leading to infections. But it's not only bacteria. We actually have the same effect on fungi. So this will actually be an opportunity for using our technology even more in some of these markets. So as we are taking care of the bacteria and fungus, at the same time, we are completely biocompatible or tissue-friendly, and this will be of critical interest to some of our future license deals that I will come back to shortly. Let's move to the next page. Just a quick market update on the BIP portfolio, our own portfolio, the Bactiguard Infection Protection portfolio, and we start from the east and work our way back to the west. We did partner with Welead as of last year in China. We are seeing massive activities now in China, which is very, very promising. We've had good meetings with their KOLs, as well as also strengthening the whole sales team. So we are looking forward to a very positive year coming out of China. And also, it feels very relevant as of today to partner up with a strong Chinese player, given what we're also seeing as for some trade wars between Xi Jinping and Trump. So it's very, very critical to be seen as a local partner. In India, we are celebrating this year, Sweden and India, that is, the 10th consecutive year of the Memorandum of Understanding. So I will come back to that in just the next page, but there are good and promising activities coming out of India for Bactiguard, and we are also concluding our clinical study in India that has shown very, very promising results. The Middle East is on track from having more or less an interim year last year. We're back in business, and we are looking forward to very strong growth in the area for 2019. Some highlights from Europe is, of course, that we took some very interesting and promising tenders in Sweden as for 2018. And here we have also, as you've seen, partnered with Mediplast in the Nordic area and the Benelux. So we are looking for very promising results from these markets in this year. Otherwise, I would say, of course, without any competition, the biggest work is being done with our partner Acibons in Germany, and we have also recruited more staff within the Bactiguard team focusing on the DACH areas. The smaller markets in Europe are on track. And last but not least, from the West, I would say that we are now picking up, even though from a low level, but we're seeing again positive signs also from Brazil, which is going to be very interesting to follow during the year, and we will come back to you with results from those markets. So, turn to the next page. As I said, the new minister, finally, Lena Hallengren, she went to India in February, and to celebrate, as I said, the Memorandum of Understanding between the two countries that is now into its 10th year. I'm very, very proud and happy to conclude that with India, we are, as a nation, establishing a vision, a zero vision against hospital-acquired infections. And she also took the liberty to actually highlight Bactiguard as one of the companies contributing to this vision in India, and she was very, very proud about this. We did also, during this trip in February, sign a cooperation with the AIIMS Institute, which is a very, very relevant stakeholder in the market. So this is looking very positive. Turn to the next page. Just a few highlights from our licensing business. BD, we have very positive underlying growth. Business from BD, that's looking very good. The new partners that we are engaged with is, of course, Vigilenz, which is very interesting given that we had the CE mark in December. So we will come back to you during the year here with the activities and how we are progressing with them. SmartWise, of course, it's still in regulatory, so nothing new to report there. But, of course, WellLead will be the most interesting lead to follow this year as we move into central venous catheters and ETTs, even though they are now in regulatory stages. We have, of course, without a doubt, several other ongoing discussions, and I would like to get you to the next page, looking at them from a numbers perspective. If you look at the BIP portfolio in the middle, you see that the global market is somewhat short of $2 billion for our three products. When we move to the second lighter green trauma implant, you see that this market is just short of $6 billion. We are looking, of course, for business opportunities here, and we have several positive ongoing discussions. So I'm looking, and I'm feeling very, very positive for this year, given the opportunities that are at stake. If you take the top bar, which is orthopedic, the difference here between trauma is that trauma implants is after a severe casualty with let's say, heavy bone being broken. So you use the pin, the screws, the plates. But when you move into the orthopedic, which is joints, as for hip, knees, etc., you are looking almost at a $23 billion market. And let's say the two markets are heavily linked together. So I think we're up for an interesting year. Let's go to the next page, just looking as for our readiness for increasing volumes. I think it is fair to say that we are in the current setting from an infrastructure perspective, ready to go from somewhat now at a 1 million yearly unit up to 10 million without further investments. We are, as you are aware of, doing ETTs and CVCs, that's bloodstream and respiratory products in Sweden. And our main facility for the urology product is coming from Malaysia. I think it is, though, important to also emphasize that given our partnership with WellLead, we are also opening up a very, very interesting production opportunity in China. And as before, of course, BD is taking care of US and Japan, given our Foley capital. So then, turn to the next page. We have done, as you have probably noticed, some recruitments in the executive management. Cecilia is heading our CFO and our finances, which is very, very positive. Coming in last year was Jonas Östergård from AstraZeneca, heading sales and marketing on a global perspective. And now we just had him accompanied by Daniel Lund, our senior vice president as for operation. There is one missing function that we are recruiting as of right now, and that is a global CMO, a medical chief medical officer that we are looking forward to come back to with very shortly. With those words, I hand over to you, Cecilia, and take us through the finances. Thank you,
Christian. Just a very brief reminder of our business model. You all know by now that we have the licensed business, which it means that the Bactiguard technology can be applied to various medical devices and applications for infection prevention benefits, but also potentially for reducing the risk of thrombosis. And we heard from Christian that not only do we prevent bacterial adhesion, but we can also prevent fungi. Today, the bulk of this business is our business with BD, but we also have the business with SmartWise, with Vigilance, and most recently with WellLead. Then the other side of our business model is our own proprietary product portfolio, which we sell through distributors throughout the world, and which generates the sales as they happen. Let's turn to page 13 and look once again at the financial highlights. We had 7% increase in revenues, and if you look at it on a net basis, excluding other revenues, which may vary between quarters, it was a 6% increase. The bulk of this came from DD, where the revenues increased by 5 million. And when another revenue from Welling, 1 million in license revenue. And let me just go back and remind you of the deal that we struck last year. We struck a deal with Welling for 30 million in total, where 10 million was the license revenue, 8 of which we took last year. We received one more million this year, so we have 1 million to go of the initial license revenue. Then obviously, as the products get approved, we will generate royalties, but that will happen at a later stage. BIP sales, Christian have touched upon. We had very strong deliveries both to India and China in the first quarter of 2018, and we also made major deliveries to China in Q4 2018. It's only natural that we are see lower activity in this quarter. And also in India, our distributor is waiting for the renewed import license for some of the products, which will come shortly. But leaving those aside, we have seen good recurring sales to the Middle East, to Europe, and to Latin America, as we mentioned earlier. And in fact, the smaller markets in Europe are generating quite substantial recurring revenues. To mention one, the home care segment in Poland actually reached an all-time high in March. So we see good contributions there even from the smaller markets. The main reason that the EBITDA increased was, of course, the increased license revenue with very high gross margins, and they flow through almost to the bottom line. But also we had the effect of the IFRS 16 adjustment for new accounting principles, which affected it by 2.5 million. We also activated some more development expenditures, 1 million more than in the first quarter of last year, and we see quite a lot of activity there. So those are the major items affecting the EBITDA. Having said that, we are, of course, happy that our EBITDA and our margin were more than doubled compared to last year. Let's move to page 14. I won't dwell on this any further, but you can see that we had a slight drop given the effect of China and India in Q1 on a rolling 12-month basis. But if you look at the trend over a longer time perspective, we see very steady growth. Then turning to page 15, the distribution of our revenues between the different lines of business. Last year, for the year as a whole, BD accounted for just over 60% of total revenues, and our own portfolio for 25%. Now, this quarter, you can see that BD accounts for more, which also shows through in the EBITDA, whereas our BIP revenues have been somewhat smaller. But we see that over the space of this year, we will get to a more normalized situation in terms of the balance between the different businesses. On page 16, you can see the cash flow of the company. The operating cash flow was negative, but as Christian has mentioned, the agreement we made with Jianan, our former distributor for China, which was made in the second quarter of last year, and where we took the cost, the payment was actually made in Q1, and that was a major payment of 11.5 million. Early this year, we made an agreement to dispose of a receivable on Iraq, and That payment is to come in the first half of this year. It's coming through in the second quarter, so that's another 12.8 million that should come in. So even though it looks as if our liquidity is worse off than at the end of the fourth quarter, I see that there should be major improvements in this quarter. Also, the fact that we have major deliveries to China means that our customer receivables have been built up. It was already built up at the end of last year. Just reminding you of our financial targets on page 17, it's to grow by an average 20% per annum by increasing sales of our own product portfolio, but also signing new license agreements, and to deliver an EBITDA margin of 30% at the end of 2020. Now, given that we are investing in the business, you will probably have seen that the board proposes no dividend for 2018, and our annual general meeting will be held next week, where we will welcome two new board members in the form of Thomas Pocock, who is the one of the main shareholders of the company, and also Anna Mattling, who is the dean at the Karin Institute, very active in cancer medicine, both in research and in clinical activities. So we very much look forward to welcoming both of them on board. With that, I will hand over to Christian for some concluding remarks.
Thank you, Cecilia. So again, summarizing on the concluding remarks, I would say that it was a stable quarter for being a Q1 quarter. We're pleased. We're not satisfied. Happy to see that revenues are growing, mainly driven by the revenues in the license business increasing. We should bear in mind that still MacDigard will see some lumpiness in between the quarters, depending on when we actually do the deliveries. We had a very strong delivery of BIP Foleys and more products in Q4, and thereby seeing a somewhat slower level in the first quarter. But I think it's very important to also state that we have very good traction in the underlying business. We're very happy about the collaboration in China, and as I said, we are expecting to see really nice numbers coming from the Chinese market during the year. This goes as well for India. Middle East is back on track, and that has also showed that persistency pays off. So we are seeing a very strong growth in the area, as well as for Europe. Latin America, we're just happy to conclude that they are back on track. They have been somewhat dormant over the last years. It is positive to conclude, of course, that the EBITDA is definitely higher, even when you adjust for the accounting principles, as I mentioned before. I think the biggest focus for us during the spring is now to really materialize as for the trauma implants. We had the CE mark in December. This is really a game-changing opportunity for this industry. And we are very, very happy to conclude that it is interesting ongoing discussions in this area. Last but not least, MacDigard is for now and since some time going through a transition from 1.0 to MacDigard 2.0. We are strengthening really in every single part of the business, from our sales team driven by Jonas, in our operations team driven by Daniel, and also in the business development and the financial area by my colleague Cecilia. It's a fantastic opportunity to really have now the possibility to attract more talent to the group, and we are going to see some very interesting results from this during the year. So I would say that if we go to the last page, our vision of saving lives have never been more important than what it is now. the trend that we're seeing around the world is depressing, as for multi-resistant bacteria is increasing, we're running out of antibiotics, healthcare cost is exploding, and we are sitting in the sweet spot right here. So really, by using our offering in the market, we will be a true partner for a long, long time to the healthcare system. And this is something that we are feeling every single day, and we're very proud of it. So with those words, I say thank you for listening, and now I hand back to you, operator, and we're ready for questions.
Thank you very much. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Mattias Vadsten of SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I'm trying to understand the sort of underlying BIP sales development in the quarter. Can you perhaps quantify the major deliveries to China and India in the comparison quarter as of last year? Thank you.
Yes. In Q1 of 2018, we had deliveries to China of some 3 million Swedish and 1.5 million to India.
Thank you very much. So my second question would be if you have any further visibility on potential coming orders from China throughout 2019, perhaps.
Well, as you know, we don't provide any forecasts, given that there are healthy activities, we expect to see them, and we will release them to the market as they come along if they are substantial.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I think that was all from me today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will now be a further pause while any questions are being registered. And there are no further questions at this time. Please go ahead, speakers.
So thank you all for listening in, and I would like to take the opportunity again to just summarize that this is fairly to our expectations. As for Q1, we are seeing a stable underlying growth in the company. We should always remember that we do have some lumpiness in between the quarter, but the start this year has been promising. Looking for the year overall, without giving any forward predictions or prognosis, we are set to go for growth. We see a very stable improvement in our team overall, and we're seeing a stronger pull from the market. So I feel very calm and relaxed for the coming year, and I think we will have a very interesting dialogue over the coming quarters. And of course, last but not least, it is of great interest for us to break into new areas, and I think and feel that we are looking very, very strong for the trauma implant segment. So with those words, I thank you all for listening and say that we are set to go for growth. Thank you all.
This now concludes our call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.